Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Happy New Year to you all. Please hang in there with me with my voice today. I'm trying to keep it alive for a little bit anyway. So today I want to start a new preaching series from the book of Romans, and I want to call it Gifts Beyond Words, which is somewhat of a play on words, because the book of Romans uses words that I have a hard time grasping, really getting to the meat of it all. Maybe you have over the years. I remember especially as a teenager and listening at the Great Lakes lectures, these powerful preachers coming from all over the place, and they'd use these words and that sounded great, and they do sound great, especially when the preacher's all riled up and using them. But what they meant just kind of escaped me. They're not always easy words to understand. It's not going to be a word study, but what we're going to notice is that these words that are sometimes difficult, and basically we're just going to go through the book of Romans, not looking at words, looking at the overall theme of what Paul is trying to say, but the gifts, the wonderful gifts that God gives us simply because he loves us. And some of these gifts are found in words like justified, glorified, sanctified, righteousness, godliness, holiness. They all sound really good. What they all actually mean is really good. So as we go through the book of Romans, we'll just notice what Paul is continually trying to tell us, that God is pouring out his love into our hearts by his Holy Spirit who lives in us, which we find in Romans chapter 5. But it's these gifts that God gives us simply because he loves us. Now, the book of Romans is a unique book. We're going to spend this week and next week just introducing some of the areas which we'll discover as we go through Romans. It's somewhat of a combination between, well, if you read the book of Galatians, which is the first book that Paul wrote, in fact, Galatians is the first New Testament book that was ever written. Galatians is vim and vigor. When you read Galatians, it's like, wow, whoever this writer is, Paul, is pretty strong. He says some things that are just really not intellectually difficult to grasp, but he really is very strong and forceful in his writing. That's not so much Romans. And then Paul writes, as years go by, this brief little book called Philemon, which is warm and cozy and tender and so, so helpful. Well, somehow I think Romans fits in between those two. It's not so muscular that we're afraid to read it, and it's not so gentle that it's without deep, deep meaning, helping us to understand what Paul is trying to say to us. So we're just going to spend a couple of weeks talking about it, sort of like this idea. I don't know if this has ever happened to you or not, but say you and your loved one's family are going to go on this amazing vacation. You've been thinking about it, talking about it, and you finally decide, okay, we're going to go ahead and go. And as the weeks go on, you plan, you look at where you're going to go, you think about if we're going to travel, what do you want to see, and it takes a while to think about the vacation, not just that you're going to go, but what are we going to do, what's it going to be like, maybe we can do this, maybe we can do that, it's just really a cool thing that we're going to be doing. I'd like us to do this with Romans. Romans is just, it's going to be great, but let's spend some time thinking about this. What's Paul saying to us? What did Paul say back in the first century? What's he saying to us today? What are these gifts all about? Do we have responsibility with these wonderful gifts that he gives us? What do we do with these gifts? Is it just some kind of theological thing, or is it life-changing? Is the message as profound today as it was back then? How is it going to change my life? How can it change my family's life? How can it change the world around us? Do I really want to be involved in all this? It's this vacation that God invites us to be part of. It's a wonderful book that we can spend some time, and we'll do this as time goes on. It's interesting, the emphasis that Paul places is no doubt Jesus Christ. When we read 1 Corinthians, Paul makes it clear. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But what all of that means to each one of us. And in Romans, he does the same thing. Have you ever met someone who says, you believe in Jesus? I mean, he wasn't even real. He was some kind of figment of somebody's imagination. You believe that stuff? You believe there actually was a person by the name of Jesus who actually lived? Really? You believe that? Well, you know, there's more historical proof of Jesus Christ living in Galilee and Palestine and so forth than most anyone else. He's not a figment of imagination. Paul is writing not only as a personal witness to Jesus Christ, but as a historian, just as the prophets were historians. But there were many Roman historians who talked about Jesus Christ, that he lived and where he lived, and he had a band of disciples who followed them. Now, these historians weren't necessarily believers in following the teachings of Jesus, but there's absolutely no doubt that Jesus lived on the earth. If anybody says to you he's just a figment of your imagination, my answer is oftentimes my same answer. Google it. Just Google it. And you'll have all kinds of information of historians who lived at the time of Jesus and shortly after the time of Jesus and wrote about Jesus. Wonderful historians by the name of Pliny, Tacitus, Suetonius, and the Jewish historian Josephus. The fact that Jesus was alive was absolutely no doubt about it. Now, what was he doing while he was alive? And in this series of Romans, we're going to look at the direction that Paul is saying to the Christians in Rome. And something else that's interesting in Rome, when you read through the New Testament, it's often Jewish Christians who are learning how to get along with Gentiles because of the dietary laws and the culture and so forth. But that's not Romans. Romans is very much a Gentile church where Paul is working with the Gentile church to help them reach out to the Jewish Christians and not to avoid them, not to push them away, but to welcome them into Christ Jesus himself. It was Thomas Aquinas, who was a 13th century theologian, who says this: Christianity is the moral architecture of reason and the intellectual culmination of a process which Jesus began in Galilee 12 centuries before. I guess if we could call another name to this series, besides God giving us gifts, if there's another name that could be given to Romans, I think maybe it would be this: reason. Reason. Come. Let's sit down and reason together. Let's reason together. So when Paul is writing these wonderful people, diverse people from all over the known world at that time, he's asking them to think, to discuss, to be part of something, and then to step into the story that's their life and the story of their life as their life relates to God, the Holy Spirit, and of course, Jesus himself. It goes beyond storytelling, but he invites us to step into the story. And what's so unique about that is that 2,000 years later, that's the same invitation. I don't know about you, I love being in the scriptures, but sometimes I read it more as history than anything else. That's not what Paul is asking us to do. And we'll see as we go along in this story, it's always this. It's always this. Come on. Come on. Come on. Read it. Okay, good. Now, come on. What are we going to do with this? What are we going to do with this gift that God says, it's yours? You didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. But here. And let me show you, Paul says. Let me tell you what this means. And Paul knew what he was talking about because you know his story. where he was outside of Christianity, in fact, trying to get rid of Christianity as best he could, and then when his own personal relationship starts with Christ in a unique way, which many of us know about, all of a sudden his life changes completely. It's not just theological. It's not just Epicureanism or Gnosticism, where we sit down and we just talk and talk and talk and talk, but nothing ever gets done. It's a life change that lasts throughout the ages. If we're long gone 2,000 years from now, which of course we will, and the world continues on, Romans will be just as valid. It's inviting us to be part of this wonderful story. Head and shoulders above everything else, Paul never lets us forget what the gospel is. In Romans chapter 1, 16 and 17, here is a key. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first for the Jewish person, then for the Gentile person, us. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. It's a gift. A righteousness that is by faith, a gift. From first to last, a gift. Just as it's written, the righteous will live by faith. Those who are willing to receive the gift. What gift? The gift of God through Jesus Christ. Not just salvation, but what all of that means and how we can be part of this wonderful story. And 1 Corinthians and Romans, I think, are two of Paul's favorite letters, because he wrote Romans probably from Corinth, and there's a lot of back and forth. But Paul said the same thing to the church at Corinth. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of this gospel, which I preached to you, which you believed, on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel, you're saved if you hold firmly to those things I preached to you. Otherwise, you believed in vain. For what I received from the Lord, I passed on to you as first importance, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day, appearing to many according to the scriptures. He reverts back to history, according to the scriptures, what the prophets had said. The prophets prophesied, never saw it. Then Paul comes along and says, yeah, I was opposed to him, and I had this miraculous time in my life where I did everything I could to oppose it, and God comes along and he gives me this gift. And the gift was Jesus himself talking to Paul. Paul, you're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way. Let me tell you, I am not a figment of your imagination. I am not a rebel, as you've been taught. But here I am, and I want you to receive me as your gift. Can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine spending your whole life opposing, and then all of a sudden you realize I've been going in the wrong direction, and now you're completely terrified. What in the world can I do? I am lost. I am without grace. I am absolutely a horrible person for doing what I've done. I've hurt people. I've ruined people's lives. I've persecuted people. And here I was going in the opposite direction. God says, let's forget about that. Let me give you me. Let me, God says, give you me through Jesus Christ. Let me give you me, which is exactly what God says to each one of us. Let me, God says, give you me. The gospel is who God is through Jesus Christ, coming to live, coming to give himself to us in remarkable ways. Now, we don't have time this morning, but Paul retells his story several times. One of the readings that was read today reminds us of what Paul was like. Let me just read again a couple of passages of Scripture. Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. I think maybe Ed read this in our Bible class this morning. Philippians chapter 3, Paul talks about his pedigree. This is who I was. And it was significant. He says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 5, circumcised on the eighth day, meaning I was a Jewish person. I was the one, I did what I was supposed to do following the Old Testament laws. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, special, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, I was a Pharisee, meaning I really paid attention to knowing the law, living the law. As for zeal, I persecuted the church because I thought that's what I was supposed to do. As for righteousness, and we'll meet that out later, as for righteousness based on the law, I was faultless. This guy had a huge pedigree. But whatever regains to me, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. And it goes on, but we'll just stop there. Because this is what Paul says in the beginning. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. But he used to be. I'm not ashamed of it. I tried to get rid of it. But now I'm not ashamed of it. Part of crucifixion was not just death. It was the shame of it. He said, I'm not ashamed of it. I tried to get rid of Christianity, but now I'm not ashamed of it. Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone. So this wonderful book that we're going to look at, it's unique, it's powerful, it's wonderful, but it's always an invitation from God to us saying, you're welcome. You are welcome to have this relationship. You are part of this. And I close with saying something that maybe you've heard me say before, but I'm always amazed at it. I mean, there are people in our world today, and I'm not criticizing it, who just said, everything that I've just said is hogwash. It's ridiculous. And I take contention with you with what you've said. And I'm not really so sure about Jesus being even a historical figure. Well, that's fine. But do you remember when in your own life, maybe you were raised as a Christian, maybe you knew something about Christianity, but do you remember the day when you knew more than you knew anything else in your life, when you knew beyond words that God loves you and that he's invited you and me to come to him, and you knew you were going to say yes? And maybe some of us can still feel the feelings of, am I going to do this? Am I really going to do this? And the incredible, beyond words, feelings, joy of being invited by God himself to have Christ as our own Savior and Lord, and these gifts that come along with him so that we can live a life that has purpose and joy and meaning, where we can invite others to be part of it too. And this is where we're going to go with Romans. Paul goes deep into their own lives. He goes deep into our life, and he helps us to understand God maybe just a little bit better. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for calling us. And it seems not even enough to say that. We are amazed that you have called us to you through Christ. Help us to go deep into this wonderful reminder called Romans that just pours out gift after gift after gift after gift into our lives. And may we be willing to not just know the gifts, but to accept the gifts and have it change our life forevermore. We are eternally grateful, God. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.